everyone, and welcome to Minute 54 of Season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Aaron Neuwirth of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. Welcome back to the show, Aaron.
Size more like size me.
I've always loved Tom Sizemore. He was in a lot of crazy roles over his career, but he was also in some great roles.
As far as his film career goes, during that 90s period especially, he was certainly a good presence. That's
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I loved him in this movie, in Enemy of the State, Heat.
Strange Days.
Black Hawk Down.
We won't get to, like, this is not part of our episodes, but when he gets shot towards the end of this movie and he's like, I just got the wind knocked out of me. I love that line reading so much. It's so good.
Right. Yeah. Because it's believable. It's just I love the trivia about him in this movie that Spielberg basically gave him an ultimatum and said, you're going to stay off drugs through this entire shoot, and if you don't, I will replace you and I will re-record every one of your scenes with somebody else. And he did it. You know, he made it through. And, 27 years later, we can look back at this movie and say, wow, you know, he's a great part of the building block of this story. So I love
shame
it.
Shame it didn't stick.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. So Minute 54 begins with Miller trying to calm Caparza down a little bit. And ends with another shot of Caparzo just continuing to bleed all over the place. So we ended things yesterday with, the men trying to deal with the fact that Caparzo has been shot and trying to figure out what they're going to do in order to I don't know if keep him safe is the right term, but to stop the situation so that they can, tend to him, I guess you can say, from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And Miller just looks on at him and screams out, hold on, Caparzo. So basically, Caparzo is lying there in the rain. You know, we see a puddle of blood basically coming out from his arm, which basically shows us, you know, that the sniper did a lot of damage. You know, we saw the little, you know, the blood packet explode the other day, but here it looks that he did a lot more damage than expected because of the way that it's all presented to us. And once again, this is not the first time in this movie. Steven Spielberg has chosen to mix water and blood together to show us basically how much death and destruction there really is in war. And, you know, it can be mingled together with water and it's still happening. You know, it's not going to, it doesn't wash it away so easily. You know, that type of thing.
On top of this, you get this camera work here. And we should talk about Janusz Kaminski's just amazing cinematography in this movie because it's so... It's again, it's something that's unique into itself. And this is that period where Spielberg's trying to make like his dirtiest movies between this and Minority Report and AI. They all have this use of like, because Kaminski's big on blown out lighting, right? And here, these are ones where they're going overtime in the midst of like these depressing areas that we're in, whether it's a bombed out city or dystopian future. You have a real sense of it's not just that I'm going to shoot this to look, futuristic or like a wartime setting, but I'm also going to shoot it to look like as ugly as possible and yet still somehow find beauty in that. And so you get this great shot of Caparzo where the camera's like on the ground with him at like arm's length, with the light coming in the way it is, with the rain pouring on his body and on the ground as the way it is, with the red, like you're mentioning, of the blood mixing in with the water, the way like there's just so much. like, I don't know how difficult it is for someone like Kavinsky to like pull this stuff off at this time, because especially because we're not using digital cameras yet, and Spielberg doesn't do digital anyway, but we're using film cameras to make this stuff work, and it does in a way where I can remember these shots because of how distinct they are, and not just because that's a cool scene. Like, it's so specifically chosen to look the way it's looking, and mm-hmm. just seeing this stuff is great.
Yeah. No, again, the shots here in this movie are just unbelievable with the way that they did this. Yeah, no question about it. I mean, we talked last week also about the idea of using rain. Here they use water in a visual sense, but last week they used it in a audio sense. You know, putting the idea of raindrops and bullets, together, mixing them all together. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The way that they, mm-hmm. they put this whole story together by using all the different senses, from that perspective. So that's just really cool. Then we get a shot of Wade on the side, and Wade screams, "Caparzo, stay still!" So it's very funny because, he doesn't really know what's going on besides the fact that Caparzo's been shot. But he's just, he's taking cover, but he also still wants to figure out, how to eventually get Caparzo to safety. Because Caparzo, he still wants to get up. He's like, help get me out. I can walk. I'm good. No problem. Let me up. Which obviously do you think he's being delusional at this point? Or is it more that he really believes that he's okay and that it's just a minor flesh wound?
It's survival instincts. I mean, he's conscious enough to know that he's been shot and that he's in a situation that's, not ideal, but he's also, panicking. Like, I'm out in the open. I could get shot again. Also, where am I exactly? Also, what's happened? Like, there's a lot of confusion going on in his head, I'm sure, and it's also right. there's the adrenaline too, which you can't count out at all. It's a lot of chaotic stuff happening in his mind, in the midst of seeing people that he knows and trusts, and says, "Hey, I want to still be helpful. How can I be helpful? I can get up. I can get out of here."
Right. Makes sense. And I love the way how the scene keeps changing back and forth between the various characters that are here. We get shots of Jackson scoping out the area, trying to figure out exactly, the exact spot in that bell tower that the sniper must be hiding in, in order for him to figure out how to get it. And he just like looks up, and then, he looks at his gun, and then he goes, "Okay, two click left wind." It once again, it's a perfect way to show us how talented a sniper Jackson must be. It goes back to what we were talking about. I think it was yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago, where Jackson is from this small little town in Tennessee, and he must have grown up going out hunting, and he knows what he's doing. That type of thing.
Yeah. For sure. Dad taught him to shoot a rifle. You can knock out a deer at 300 feet. So sure, you can take this guy out.
That's right. That's right. And the fact that he knows,
like, when you're like a young teen at this point in time, and you're watching this movie, everybody loves this. All the teenage boys love the sniper the most, because snipers are cool. Like, that's the general kind of thought that you have. So like, this is like everybody's favorite character. And I think a lot of that comes from movies like this, where you see somebody, doing something so skillfully, like the scene that we won't see later on. That's the result of his sniper actions during the sequence.
Right. That's true.
Which and is also not a real thing.
You can already see at this point how calm he is, because the work of a sniper is something that takes time. It's something that you need to have patience. And, the way that Barry Pepper plays this character, we always know that he's not in any rush. As far as he's concerned, that's right. We got plenty of time. that sniper is going to be staying up there, and I'm going to take my time in order to figure out what's the best way to get him, you know, that type of thing. So he just readjusts his sights and stuff like that. And then, you know, they give us another shot of Carpazzo lying on the ground. And this is an overhead shot where, once again, we get to see the blood just draining out of his body from his arm. Because, I mean, what it looked like the other day was that he was shot in the chest or in the stomach or whatever it is. But the blood is only coming out of his arm. We don't see like a pool of blood underneath him. It's just like streaming out from his jacket type of thing, you know, or from the, you know, the, I don't know. Just it's effective, but it's also very strange to see it this way.
Well, because we only have so much we can go on with exactly, like, you know, we know the bullet came from behind him. We saw it, you could justify certain things, but then it comes down to like, okay, so how did he fall? How much stuff is he wearing, right? Because, you know, all the layers that these guys have to wear, blood might just frankly not be able to really get out of his body anywhere else, but besides just kind of rolling through and coming out of his sleeve eventually. Like, right. You know, there's a number of factors that go.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, I like the way it's very effective with the way that it's showing, because it's as if the puddle of blood is an extension of his hand. Type of thing, you know, with the way it is, like he's sort of holding this red mist, you know, from the side of his hand, type of thing, and then he goes fish, you know, trying to draw attention, and then we see the French family once again speaking French, trying to I guess get their daughter to come back to them, and we see. We see Upham trying to calm the girl a little more and speaking to her in French, trying to keep her calm. And the you know, and the shot moves back and forth between all the characters, which is great. And I like the way that they do this. And then once again, we're back on Wade, and Wade screams and goes, "Captain, can you see him from there? How is he?" And then we hear Miller scream back, "Wade, you stay put. Where's your shot, Captain? Captain, can you see him from there? You stay there." I think the idea here is that Miller doesn't, on the one hand, doesn't want to expose Wade to the sniper, but on the other hand, Miller knows that it's not good for Carpazzo, and so let's not waste our medic, you know, on a guy who doesn't really have much of a chance of making it beyond here.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. All those things. Don't want to lose anybody else, let alone the guy that can help us if we actually get injured.
Correct. Yeah. So I like the way they do it, and it's very funny because, you know, Wade is very adamant. He wants to start moving, and then Hill grabs him and pulls him back. You know, we get that little Paul Giamatti scene. Where he says, "Damn it, stay down. What's the matter with you? Am I going to take care of you if you get hit?" Which basically saying, I don't know anything about being a medic. So if you get hit, you're going to be in a lot of trouble if you have to rely on me. So you stay here where it's safe." So it's a nice way to put that together there. And because Wade is very jumpy at this point, you know, I mean, come on, we know from the beginning of the movie that he wanted to help DeForest, even though you saw how many leaks he had, you know, so that doesn't really help very much from that perspective. And then the shot goes back to Carpazzo, who is looking towards Mellish and goes, "Fish, come over here." And Phyllis, he calls back and goes, "Carpy, put your head down. Why can't you put your head down?" And, you know, we saw beforehand the, you know, in past minutes, the camaraderie that the two of these guys have together. So it, you know, we see that Mellish is is quite distraught over the fact that his friend is lying there dying and he can't do anything to help him, you know, besides cover himself up with more bricks, you know, that type of thing. And then the minute ends with a panning shot of the camera very, very close to his arm, you know, with all the blood coming out of it. But we see the anguish on his face, not knowing what he's supposed to be doing at this point. You know, because he's trying to get help and nobody wants to help him. So it goes back to what we were saying before, that he's on the one hand, you know, knows that he's in a bad situation, but on the other hand, he's a little disoriented with everything that's going on here. So I like it. I think it's a great shot showing us once again that war is hell and that the chaos that goes on, and sometimes there are situations where there's nothing you can do. You just have to deal with whatever you got. So, yep, exactly. So that's all I have for this minute. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
That's all my notes.
Okay. All right. So Thursday's segment is called Say What Thursday. Okay. Say what? Say what again? That type of thing. It's a
Got it.
Jules Winfield inspired segment. How's that? So
All right.
basically, what I decided to do was is I mean, this movie, as we discussed numerous times over the week, has a lot of great actors in this movie. Many of whom, at the time that this movie came out, weren't really well known or popular, but ever since, they have come out of the limelight, I guess you can say, come out of the woodwork, and are now known. They're much more recognizable than they were then. So what I decided to do was is I'm going to give you a quote from one of these actors in a different movie. I will tell you the name. I will tell you the year of the movie, and you have to try and guess what movie it's from. Now, because there are so many different people to choose from, so every week I only choose. I give you three choices. Okay, so for you, because I decided to give you the three choices are Vin Diesel, Giovanni Ribisi, or Tom Sizemore. Okay, those are your three choices.
Got it.
Okay,
All
the
right.
quotes that I will give will be from one of those three actors. Okay, and only from
Okay.
one of those actors. Can't be from anybody else.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry.
Got it.
There's no tricks here. Yeah. All
Okay, good.
right.
Thanks for assuring me there's no tricks. Okay.
Well, come on, I wanted to assure you. That's fine. All right. So we will start with the first one. Remember, it could be Vin Diesel, Tom Sizemore, or Giovanni Ribisi. It's a movie from 2006 where the quote from the character is, "I've got nothing but time."
I've got nothing but time. 2006. That sounds like Vin Diesel in one Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
Wow, that is very impressive. Excellent. That is great.
Nailed it.
You did. And he only has one little scene in the movie, and you know. Great. All right, let's go to the next one. It's from 2001. Hey, you know you're not supposed to be painting p's on the side of my airplanes. And if you do, don't make them lopsided.
That would be Tom Sizemore in Pearl Harbor.
You see, I think I went too easy with you on this one.
I'm very good with years, so that's very much helping me say that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go with the next one.
So that's right then, you're saying that's the right answer?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay, got it.
That is correct. Okay. Next one from 2000. They say most of your brain shuts down in cryosleep, all but the primitive side, the animal side. No wonder I'm still awake.
Oh, that's Diesel in Pitch Black.
Yes, it is.
I think.
Right. Like I said, I think I need to do harder things for you, Aaron. All right. Here's another one from also from 2000. Looking back, the casino was my most legitimate business I had running. I looked my customers in the eye and I provided a service they wanted. Now I don't even look my customers in the eye and I push them something they never asked for.
2000?
Yes.
Like, we haven't done a Ribisi yet, but like, what would that be if it was him? So like, what size world is that? See, now you're getting me. So let's see here. Say the quote again.
Looking back, the casino was the most legitimate business I had running. I looked my customers in the eye and I provided a service that they wanted. Now I don't even look my customers in the eye and I push them something they never asked for.
You know what? If it's, we haven't done a Ribisi, so I'm going to take a guess. Is it Boiler Room?
Yes, it is. Very good.
And it is Ribisi. Because Diesel and Ribisi are in that movie.
Seriously.
Okay, so it's Ribisi.
Yes.
Okay.
I was trying to throw you off with that perspective that you wouldn't know which of them it was in Boiler Room, but that didn't help either. All right, and the final one from 1999. Hey, Frank, what do you know? It's you and me again tonight, the Rough Riders, tearing up the streets, just like old times. This old bus is a warrior. Frank, I tried to kill her, but she will not die. I have great respect for that.
There's a lot of line. Sorry to interrupt you. I didn't mean to.
That's okay.
I kept going. But that's bringing out the dead. That's Tom Sizemore and Scorsese's underrated.
Wow. Okay. You film. See, very impressive, Aaron. You got 100 for 100 on that one. 5 for 5. Excellent jump. All right. So, Aaron, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Aaron Neuwirth?
Yeah, sure. When I'm not reading the IMDb quotes page to memorize everything ever for the sake of random podcast games that I might be involved with, you can find me, everything I do, at my personal Substack page, thecodazeek.substack.com. All my movie reviews end up there. My movie reviews are from We Live Entertainment. I host a podcast called Out Now with Aaron and Abe over everywhere you can find podcasts. We talk about weekly movie releases and other fun stuff. And I'm on all the socials at Aaron's PS4.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, Aaron, you feel like doing one more of these this week? Where maybe we'll see what happens to Caprazzo. Maybe. Maybe not.
We're going to cross the finish line here, Cap.
All right. Excellent. So we will be back tomorrow. But until then, earn this.
Earn this.
In my solitude, you